life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Tonight we have two horrifying tales why you should avoid ever visiting the small mountain town of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. For many years, my father has attempted to study it, tracked its presence, and interviewed those who have encountered it. I have now taken up the charge. My father is too old to do this work. He is disturbed by it. And frankly, I'm starting to feel that way as well. Yet I have decided that I'm going to share two accounts of folks who my father and I believe to be survivors, at least initially, in Hare Wilson's case, of what we called the Mountain Entity. These two are not the only cases, but they are among the ones where there is a clear connection. Before I share, a bit of background. Celeste Milgram is now 96 years old. Her right hand remains gnarled and deeply discolored, and she has been unable to use it for many years. She keeps it gloved and bound to her body. She lives alone in a small house in the city. She hates to travel. She refuses to get in any type of vehicle, so she doesn't go anywhere. Celeste has a hefty scrapbook, which holds dozens of hand-clipped newspaper articles about unusual and unexplained deaths. Deaths that she and we attribute to the entity. One of the clippings includes an interview with the son of Hare Wilson, written on the third year anniversary of his family's tragedy, a mystery that has plagued the community where it took place. A little in the article has been underlined. Wilson reported assisting a young girl and her mother in fixing the girl's bike. My father, having found Celeste, then tracked down the Wilson family, still living in the area. He and I have interviewed the son, who relayed his father's story. Each time I visit Celeste, she will tell me,
"Be careful, and mind you don't bump into my hand. I'm a spreader."
Below is Celeste telling my father her story, then follows my interview with Hare's son. Celeste. My husband and I were on a brief vacation, unwinding in the mountain town of Gatlinburg. We arrived 3 days before it happened, and we had a pretty good time up until then. On the first day, we hiked a popular trail. The next day, we visited a little aquarium. We caught a matinee at the local cinema. Ate delicious meals every day. Our hotel was small, yet luxurious and comfy. We decided to end our trip with a drive through the hills. We traveled through meandering roads, where both squat houses and regal cabins dotted the beautiful landscape. Listened to the radio, opened all the windows, and relished the cold mountain air. After a while, we came upon a woman and child walking together along the side of the road. How to describe them? The two were a mirror of each other. Both were raw-boned. The deviation was that one was distinctly lanky, the other emphatically diminutive. Both the woman and child had hair which fell only just above their shoulders. the woman and girl were both wearing unadorned, shapeless dresses, which differed only slightly in color and pattern. The woman's dress was covered in baby pink flower buds. The child's had cherry-colored flower blossoms. It's amazing what you could remember. Both had faces that were homely and unremarkable, showing only the briefest glimmers of expression. I tell you, I found myself seeped in an anomalous feeling. I realized that I did not recall the chatter concerning the pair's destination, nor did I remember Manny loading the little girl's wrecked bike into the trunk. I know he had did so. The bike had flat tires or bent handlebars. I believe that the little girl was crying when she picked them up, yet I was not certain. The little girl was a presence sitting next to me in the back seat. That's the only way I could describe it. The fact was odd, too, that I was suddenly in the back seat. I don't remember our car pulling over or getting out of the passenger seat, which the girl's mother now occupied. I wondered, was the woman the girl's mother? The girl was truly the woman's miniature. Did Manny and I ever agree to pick them up? I don't remember having any conversation about it. I thought, why would we pick up passengers in this remote mountain town? Where were the tourists? Something was picking at me, giving me a trickle of unease. I wish I had paid more attention to that. I probed around discreetly. Did the woman or child have anything on their person? Was there a weapon that could be held? A pocketbook, rucksack, or the bike? I didn't think so. We had signed a guest book at the scenic spot. At least there was a record of our travels. But then I remember thinking it was ridiculous to me to worry about such things. I remember turning my eyes, not all the way, sort of in my peripheral vision to look at my seatmate. The little girl was grinning at me. Something was very unbecoming about her smile. The area around her mouth was a smudgy color. The teeth were tinged with something dark. The girl's hair was so, as if matted with mud or earth, which made it stick out from her neck in bizarre clumps. The back of the woman's head looked the same. I know their hair wasn't like that when we had first picked them up. I looked forward at Manny. His hands were intently clutching the steering wheel. His chest heaved, his eyes bulged. I thought to ask him what was wrong, and something unknown, some disembodied voice said, "Nothingness." I did not want to look at the girl. I knew that would be a very calamitous idea. Yet at the same time, I thought, what harm could come from looking at a girl no more than 7 or 8 years old, who was upset that her bike was wrecked? And then, I was judgmental about the woman. If I ever found myself stranded in need of a ride, I did my best not to catch a ride with a stranger. I would call up family or friends first, or get a taxi for God's sake. This thought was suddenly shuffled away as unimportant. I heard that voice say, "You have to look at the girl." The girl's smile did not wane. It stretched wider, and dark red seeped from the corners. The girl's face, it morphed into a horrendous mask, losing innocence, transforming into a foregone and unholy creature. The skin became patchy, crepe-like, contradicting everything about her supposed young age. The girl was a farce, the big eyes, long eyelashes, plumpy cheeks served to make the creature's horrendous visage more grotesque. My body seemed to crumble and fall. I was winded. I was forced to look as veins of crimson and coal spread like engorged capillaries bursting with repulsive splatter over the mimicked face. The eyes rolled up to the car top in a mad delirium. The void pupils made their way back to impale my gaze. The water lines of the eyes were unnatural and wriggling. The lower lashes were coated with whatever it was. It poured forth in grisly dark tears.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I shrieked. If inwardly or outwardly, I didn't know. Some primal inner sense was clawing and tearing to get out of my body, to reach the alarm, to fling myself out of the car. As dangerous as that would have been, it would have been better than being trapped next to... I attempted to look away, to see my husband, the one I loved. Instead, I locked eyes with the woman, who was also grinning, her face emulating the girl's sinister wickedness. Their faces were reflected in illogical detail. I could see that it was blood coming from the cheekbones, dripping from suddenly sharpened corners. I croaked out a repulsive sound. How was the wretched woman now driving? It was like my body, confined with sharp daggers, could not look at anything but the woman and child, and my own horror-stricken face in the rearview mirror. I trembled, drew ragged breaths. I managed to close my eyes. When I opened them, I could tell Manny and I were still in the car, albeit with these things, these fiends. I could hear Manny's stifled sobs, as well as I could see his body convulse in repetition. Only a little girl and her mother, the voice from nowhere, said, "You are giving them a ride." I had the sense then and now that what we were riding with was not plural. An unknown demon, one entity, was toying with us by appearing in manifold forms. Manny and I were snared in the car, defenseless against it. The creature masquerading as a girl used tiny fingers, damp, clammily gallid and abrasive, to flutter jerkily down and touch the outer palm of my hand. I felt it tap my skin slowly, each finger dropping and rising, as if playing a scale on the piano. Each contact was a stab, serrated, sending excruciating prickles throughout my body. I continued to feel the fiend's presence next to me, stronger and now appalling. Gloating, relishing in the effect it was having on us. "Out," I thought to myself, screaming. "Get out!" By some miracle, they were being bodily shuffled out of the car to the side of the road by my husband. I watched as the girl's bike was tossed and the metal frame toppling on its side. I felt wrath and malice pouring from them, but I didn't much care. I got back into the passenger seat and Manny got back behind the wheel. My husband was shaking and sweaty, still panting and looking around wildly, like he was trying to wrench himself out of a fog, barely gaining his wits with obvious struggle. That intruding voice was tittering, exulting, and I could not discern what it was saying, only that it seemed to be building to a frenzy of ill will and contempt towards us. Our car screeched in a U-turn back in the direction we had come. I looked in the side mirror as the girl mounted the bike, which now looked pristine, no flat tires or twisted handlebars. That was another farce, a lure. The girl began to pedal after us. The girl was gaining, inches away from our car. My mind still couldn't grasp the woman was somehow next to the small form, inexplicably, and the sinister sanguine smiles were still stretched across the faces. The sound of the bike pedals turning was a high-pitched creak of grinding metal, freakishly amplified. I cranked the handle to roll up my window and then put my hands over my ears. Our car would not move. I remember looking down and seeing that Manny was floored on the gas pedal. My love was grimacing and wincing at the sound of the pedals. In a pitiful caterwaul, he stuttered, "Stop it." I remembered Manny jerkily reaching out the turn on the radio, likely hoping, like I was, that music or mindless talk would shut out the violent grinding sound of the pedals, reverberating in the air all around us. The sound only grew louder, and our voices blended in screams of anguish. I switched the radio off, and the noise faded to silence. Our car lurched forward. The thing had ceased pedaling and came to a halt on the road. The woman form watched us and peered impassive to our escape. They got smaller and smaller, finally fading from my view. Our nerves calmed. I recall that Manny and I did not speak, not about what had just transpired or at all. I guess we simply looked at each other, knowing what we had just been through, something beyond comprehension. We then went some distance. The sun streaming through the windows seemed to intensify. We passed familiar roads. We were not far from our hotel. I felt I had to, even though it was not true. I had to have a strong conviction that I had fallen asleep during the drive and had a terrible nightmare. I said to Manny, "I had a bad dream." "Oh," Manny replied, playing along. "Do you want to talk about it?" I didn't want to bother him. That was enough. "No," I told him. "I'm all right." I turned to look briefly into the back seat to see that my handbag was there, partially open. I got out my pocket watch to check the time. My fingers brushed a bit of smudge from the glass clock face. I thought it must have gotten a little dirty at one of those photo stops. It's amazing how the mind tries to justify and ignore to protect us. I also noticed dark smears spread across the front dashboard and on my husband's wrists, marked in fingerprints. I thought, oh God, when did I grip them enough to do that? I noticed there was some substance pooled in the back seat, but I tried to tell myself that I was just imagining it. At the same time, I thought, was it just a dream? If not, what did you all just do? They were hurt. They needed to get somewhere, get home. I wanted to close my eyes. I think I slept a little. Surely we were just about there, and we could choose to forget about everything. But no. Frigid air whipped at me. I heard cruel and vanquished laughter, grinding pedals turning. The girl and the woman had come back. They never truly left us.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The demon outside of the car flickered between woman and child. The horrible thing pedaled furiously. No need to use the handlebars. It tapped on the top of my hand again. The tapping sensation returned, this time more excruciating. My skin was pierced. My blood flowed into the wind and down onto the road. I screamed and screamed. The bloody, grinning mouth loomed within inches of my face. I recoiled as the fingers became distorted talons. Oh God, my bladder released, soaking the seat beneath me. The demon flew back, shadowing the air. It dove, the jagged claws stretched out and smashed into the car window. After that, I don't really remember what happened. I had missed time, as your type is fond of saying. Mr. Milo, Manny and I found ourselves on the side of the road. A nice man, I remember, he had the name of a rabbit. He helped patch up our car. Then we went on. We got back to the hotel. I could no longer feel my right hand. Hare's son. I was about 15 years old at the time when we were moving across states. My pa went ahead of us to settle up before my mother and I came. I got a call from the hospital in the new town that my father was in a bad way and wanted to talk to family before he passed. His injuries, he was going to pass, that was certain. My mother was in shock and couldn't hold the phone to her ear for her life. I wanted to ask questions, tell him things, but my pa begged me to just listen and not to interrupt at all. Later, the police wanted to know what we had talked about. I told it so many times back then that I can't forget it now. It was so strange, but my old pa was just giving me the names of the people who he had talked to before whatever happened to him happened. My pa told me that he was just about to pull into our driveway with the second load of moving boxes when he spotted a nice caddy with a blown-out back window. He always liked cars and helping out folks in need. He drove past it and parked, then got out and approached the front. A woman stuck her hand out of the window and waved at him. A rock, we think, she told my pa. It frightened us. We were just driving along and the window shattered. A big rig passed us. We think perhaps something was flung. A man with the woman added.
Phew, my pa said. Must have been a big rock.
The man got out to assess the damage. The woman followed, and my pa noticed she was wearing a nice dress, like your mother used to wear, though it was splattered with something dirty. Do you know where an auto shop could be around here? The woman asked him. I'm afraid I do not. My pa introduced himself. My name is Hare Wilson, and I'm moving here with my family. He pointed to his truck. Just got here today, in fact. Oh, the woman said. How lovely. We're not from here, just visiting. Mr. Manuel Milgram and Celeste. I can't believe I remember their names so clearly now and back then. Anyways, she, Celeste, went up to my pa and shook his hand. Celeste went on to tell my pa. The last day of our little vacation, we went on one last drive. And this is what happens. My pa said she smiled at him, a big old grin, and kept smiling the whole time they interacted. He noticed that her mouth was splotched with something at the corners, but he was too polite to point it out. Maybe I got tired and drove too close, the man told my pa. Our hotel is just up the road, and I'm ready to hit the hay. You've got insurance, right? My pa asked them. We do have insurance, thank God, they said. Tell you what, my pa said. I got some clear cellophane wrap and tape in my truck. That'll fix you temporarily. 15 minutes later, my pa watched as the couple pulled back onto the road and drove away. He had to wipe off an icky substance that coated some of the broken glass from the couple's window, their back seat, and the woman's right hand. The same stuff they found all over the property, and the stuff they found on my dad's body that the doctors, police, even the damn coroner could not figure out what on earth it was. She, the woman, Celeste, didn't seem to notice the stuff. My pa said, I've always thought this was really strange, that the woman had made him feel uneasy. He said he had wondered why until he turned towards the task of unloading the truck. During this last part, the phone went really funny, and it was hard to hear my pa. I could tell the doctors and nurses were in the background. They were trying to get him off the phone. There was beeping, moaning, cries of pain, and all that. It gives me the willies remembering that.
My dad said there was two figures walking down the side of the road, just in front of where they needed the back up. He said he had to really squint. His eyesight wasn't the best those days. All of us in the family are practically blind. As the figures came closer, he could see that it was a young girl and a woman. The girl was dragging a bike and crying, and no wonder. The front fender of the bike was bent to all shit. The tires looked busted. My dad said he could hear the pedals creaking through the dust as they approached. And believe it or not, I could hear something like that over the phone before it, and well, my pa went. The last thing my dad ever said to me was, "It seemed like I was going to do two good deeds today."
Every story begins somewhere. For your child, it could begin with a Guardian bike. Built right here in the USA, engineered for safety, and designed for confidence. Kids of all ages are learning to ride in just one day. No tears, no frustration. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike, and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, give the gift that's safer, smarter, and built to last. Visit GuardianBikes.com to save up to 40% on all bikes, plus a free accessory bundle worth over $100.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.